Come Out and Be Separate. St. Helena, California, November 1905. I have not been able to sleep during the past night. Letters have come to me with statements made by men who claim to have asked Dr. Kellogg if he believes the statements that Sister White bears. He declares that he does, but he does not. He sent a sensible letter to me while I was at Melrose, Massachusetts, saying, "I have surrendered." I responded to it, but not another line has he written. He has not spoken or acted as a man who has surrendered. He has felt bitterness of soul against the Lord's appointed agencies who have occupied the position of president of the General Conference. He has hated them. Has he surrendered that gall of bitterness? The Lord will not accept anything that he affirms which is false. The whole of the matter is not revealed. I have been waiting to see the least evidence of surrender. The word of the Lord to me is, he is only gathering his forces for another display to magnify himself. The ministers of God are being drawn in and deceived by his science. He is doing all in his power to create a division between the medical work and the ministry of the word. He has his messenger going forth to test the pulse of God's people and please him by disparaging the strength of the ministerial force. This large work and its sure results are plainly presented to me. I am so sorry that sensible men do not discern the trail of the serpent. I call it thus, for thus the Lord pronounces it. Wherein are those who are designated as departing from the faith and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, departing from the faith which they have held sacred for the past 50 years? I leave that for the ones to answer who sustain those who develop such acuteness in their plans for spoiling and hindering the work of God. If blank had come into line, the work of God would have been years in advance of what it now is. He would have connected himself with the Lord, and Christ would have worked through him. The Lord would now have a straightforward, decided testimony borne regarding every point of present truth. We are a denominated people, and we are not to yield up our faith to the science of human sophistry. November 1905. I slept well during the past night, from 7 o'clock until 2:30. It is the Sabbath of the Lord, and I shall speak in the church at St. Helena this morning. My health is very good. I attend to my writings continuously, that everything may be in readiness if I should be taken away at a moment's notice. I do not regard that time with any fear or distrust. I am heeding to the best of my knowledge the message that Christ came from heaven to give John, as recorded in the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd chapters of Revelation. But unto you, I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not known this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But that which ye already have hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh, and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 2, verse 24 to 29. I am instructed to say, the sentiments of those who are searching for advanced scientific ideas are not to be trusted. Such representations as the following are made. The Father is as the light invisible, the Son is as the light embodied, the Spirit as the light shed abroad. The Father is like the dew, invisible vapor. The Son is like the dew gathered in beauteous form. The Spirit is like the dew fallen to the seed of life. Another representation. The Father is like the invisible vapor. The Son is like the leaden cloud. The Spirit is rain fallen and working in refreshing power. All these spiritualistic representations are simply nothingness. They are imperfect, untrue. They weaken and diminish the majesty which no earthly likeness can be compared to. God cannot be compared with the things his hands have made. These are mere earthly things, suffering under the curse of God because of the sins of man. The Father cannot be described by the things of earth. The Father is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and is invisible to mortal sight. The Son is all the fullness of the Godhead manifested. The Word of God declares Him to be the express image of His person. Hebrews 1, verse 3. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Here is shown the personality of the Father. The Comforter that Christ promised to send after He ascended to heaven is the Spirit in all the fullness of the Godhead, making manifest the power of divine grace to all who receive and believe in Christ as a personal Savior. There are three living persons of the heavenly trio. In the name of these three great powers, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, those who receive Christ by living faith are baptized, and these powers will cooperate with the obedient subjects of heaven in their efforts to live the new life in Christ. What is the sinner to do? Believe in Christ. He is Christ's property, bought with the blood of the Son of God. Through test and trial, the Savior redeemed human beings from the slavery of sin. What then must we do to be saved from sin? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the sin-pardoning Savior. He who confesses his sin and humbles his heart will receive forgiveness. Jesus is the sin-pardoning Savior, as well as the only begotten Son of the infinite God. The pardoned sinner is reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, our deliverer from sin. Keeping in the path of holiness, he is a subject of the grace of God. There is brought to him full salvation, joy, and peace, and the true wisdom that comes from God. Faith in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ is the assurance of pardon. Christ can cleanse away all sin. Simple reliance on that power day by day will give the human agent keen wisdom to discern what will keep the soul in these last days from the bondage of sin. By faith and prayer, through the knowledge of Christ, he is to work out his own salvation. The Holy Spirit recognizes and guides us into all truth. God has given his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ is the sinner's Savior. Christ's death has redeemed the sinner. This is our only hope. If we make a full surrender of self and practice the virtues of Christ, we shall gain the prize of eternal life. He that believeth in the Son hath the Father also. 1 John 2, verse 23. He who has continual faith in the Father and the Son has the Spirit also. The Holy Spirit is his Comforter, and he never departs from the truth. There is a power in the science of human philosophy to influence minds to believe the great deceiver's words and bind souls to his side. Satan does this work. Through his devising, he controls the minds that Christ sacrificed his life to redeem. Satan is doing this very work in our midst, and sensible men, unless they watch, will become sinful, dishonest men who falsify and deceive. Judges and lawyers are employed, and have done, and will continue to do, a work that makes evil appear as righteousness. This work will go on until the Lord of heaven shall quench these scientific sophistries by his authorized power, and Christ shall open men's eyes, enabling them to see what constitutes sin. There will have to be a second conversion in the hearts of some of our leading medical fraternity, and a cutting away from the men who are trying to guide the medical ship into the harbor, else they themselves will never reach the haven of rest. Christ calls, "Come out from among them, and be ye separate." 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. I write this because any moment my life may be ended. Unless there is a breaking away from the influence that Satan has prepared, and a reviving of the testimonies that God has given, souls will perish in their delusion. They will accept fallacy after fallacy, and will thus keep up a disunion that will always exist until those who have been deceived take their stand on the right platform. All this higher education that is being planned will be extinguished, for it is spurious. The more simple the education of our workers, the less connection they have with the men whom God is not leading, the more will be accomplished. Work will be done in the simplicity of true godliness, and the old times will be back, when, under the Holy Spirit's guidance, thousands were converted in a day. When the truth in its simplicity is lived in every place, then God will work through His angels as He worked on the day of Pentecost, and hearts will be changed so decidedly that there will be a manifestation of the influence of genuine truth, as is represented in the descent of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never has, and never will in the future, divorce the medical missionary work from the gospel ministry. They cannot be divorced. Bound up with Jesus Christ, the ministry of the Word and the healing of the sick are one. The 58th chapter of Isaiah contains instruction for today. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin. Verse 1. God does not accept Dr. Kellogg as his laborer unless he will now break with Satan. The work would not have been hindered, as it has been for the past several years, if Dr. Kellogg were a converted man. Come, I call, come ye out, and be separate from him and his associates whom he has leavened. I am now giving the message God has given me to give to all who claim to believe the truth. Come ye out from among them, and be separate, else their sin in justifying wrongs and framing deceits will continue to be the ruin of souls. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. We cannot afford to be on the wrong side. We cannot afford to cover the truth with scientific problems. We urge that decided changes be made and no more stumbling blocks be placed before the feet of the people of God. Let every soul put on the gospel shoes. Let every soul pray and work, placing their feet upon the foundation Christ laid in giving his life for the life of the world.